This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. How are you this morning, Greater Boston? It is a tough morning. The pain of the loss and violence. As of this morning, 19 of our children and two teachers dead in Texas. That has traveled here and it has hit us hard. And we are a community here on Radio Boston, and we wanted to come together today, grieve, reflect, find some way to put out on our kitchen table here all that we're feeling, all the questions we still need to answer, and yet another terrible moment. And the weight of it feels heavier given the context. It's the 2-year anniversary of the murder of George Floyd, less than 2 weeks after a young white man massacred black grocery shoppers in Buffalo. And of course, you can't not juxtapose that as well. So listen, we have a conversation today with U.S. Attorney Rachel Rollins, who was Suffolk County DA when George Floyd was murdered, and talked then passionately with us on Radio Boston about it. We wanted to reflect with her 2 years on, and we will do that. But right now, Reverend Mariama White Hammond is with us in the studio here. She is the founding pastor of the New Roots AME Church in Dorchester. And she's going to help us talk this through because that's what we do as community. So welcome back, Reverend Mariama.
It's good to be here. Wish it was a different circumstance.
Me too. And I'm glad you're here, though. And I want to just start by asking you how you are.
You know, I ultimately I'm well. You know, I woke up this morning. I got my prayer time. I made it to my yoga, online yoga class. I'm good, but my heart is heavy.
You said that you got your prayer time this morning. We are of many faiths in the Radio Boston community, some agnostic, some atheist, some practicing any of a number of faiths. In yours, is there a biblical context, a quote, something that you've turned to in this moment?
So I think I have been thinking about praying for the families. The odd juxtaposition is, Our congregation is in the midst of celebrating graduations for folks who've sort of reached that milestone in school.
High school, middle school,
yeah,
elementary
college.
School.
We have someone who just finished their dissertation, is graduating, and we're collecting all the names for graduation Sunday. And so we've been thinking about school as a milestone. And of course, then we have this moment. One of my parishioners said, "I just can't send my kids to school today." You know, and so folks are praying with her and for her. But, you know, I have been preaching in the Beatitudes. And so looking at this notion that God is present for those who mourn, for those who are suffering, I've been thinking a lot about that, about the reality that I truly believe that God is closest to, present, available with those who are really struggling. But I also have to be honest, I also not just prayed for those who are suffering, but really asking God, how have we come to the point in this country where this is just normal, where we're going to likely have a few moments of silence and then move on without doing anything. I think that's the thing that makes me most angry and heartbroken. And so I prayed for the callousness, or what I perceive to be the callousness. I looked in the book of Exodus, and the moment where it talks about how, you know, Moses first goes to Pharaoh, and he doesn't actually first ask for the people to be freed from slavery. Actually, what he just says is, "Will you allow us to go worship our God in the wilderness?" That's the ask. And Pharaoh says, "No." And the scriptures tell us about how Pharaoh's heart is hardened. I think we all tend to identify ourselves as the Israelites, right? The people who are, you know, with God and who are suffering. But in many ways, I feel like as a nation, we've become a bit of a Pharaoh in the way that our policies are working. Because even in light of children dying, we have not taken action. Somehow, the hearts, and I want to make a distinction because I think a large majority of Americans want common sense changes in our gun laws. But I looked at that point and then I sort of said to God, like, what is it going to take? Because I feel like we're already losing our firstborn children. And somehow we are still not shifting.
There's a lot there that I want to talk to you about. And I feel like to start, one of the things I've been struggling with all morning is my intense need, my intense experience of this moment with these children, and the fact that there are lots of moments right here in Boston where our children die,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not doing this the next morning on the show. And we're not always having the same conversation about a collective shared experience as parents. And I'm not looking for forgiveness from you for that or permission from you for that, but I am asking if you'll reflect with me on that.
Yeah, it's very real. Unfortunately, throughout my year, I remember the young people that I've lost. On my birthday every year, I remember a young person who was part of my program, Kareem Burry, who was killed the morning of my birthday. So I never forget. It's always this moment of celebration for me of another year, but also remembrance that Kareem never had another birthday. He'll never have a 29th birthday. He'll never have a 42nd birthday. He'll never live to be six. So it is this reality that we live in a society where too many of our children are considered expendable. And, you know, we've been wrestling in our community around the, you know, Supreme Court case and this idea of pro-life and what does that mean? And, you know, our congregants, you know, land in different places. But what's really hard for me and my own tradition is the hypocrisy of our willingness to fight for children that are not here and our lack of motivation to fight for children that are already here. I do want to figure out what does it mean to be a truly pro-child country, that we never let the passing of our children go unnoticed. And you are right. Living in a community that, you know, it is better now than it was when I was in high school. But I remember going to funerals and wearing the buttons, and it almost has become a rite of passage for so many of our kids to have lost somebody. And maybe some piece of me thought, when all of America begins to experience this, we will change. Maybe what's most overwhelming for me is that even when white children in suburban America are gunned down, we still have been unwilling to shift the hold of the gun lobby on our country. So yeah, it is hard. It is hard because I mourn for kids that never showed up in the newspaper and who there wasn't a collective moment of silence, sometimes even in their own schools, much less in the city. Yeah.
We're talking to Reverend Mariama White Hammond, who's the founding pastor at the New Roots AME Church in Dorchester, and someone we turn to often here on Radio Boston to grapple, to understand, to sit in discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
We reached out. We have a texting group, and people sign up to become part of it. And I texted that group today and said, hey, reflect if you want with us. And we got a couple in, and I want to share one of them with you now. This is Kumara in Northampton. I grew up in the town next door to Newtown, Sandy Hook. Mm-hmm. People told us growing up that Columbine was a one-off and it had never happened in the Northeast. Then it did. Then people said it couldn't happen in other states, and then it did, even states that love guns and gun rights. The hurt that a mass school shooting can cause stretches for years after in many ways no one thinks of, and it never matters what community you're from. This culture of it will never happen in my community— Sorry, this culture of it will never happen in my community needs to stop and shift to it may only be a matter of time unless things change. That's Kumara. And it resonates with some of the things that you just said. In our remaining time, you talked about becoming a pro-child nation. Okay, we're in Boston, mm-hmm. and we're not that big, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of resources here, mm-hmm. and we're at the table. What do we do to become a more pro-child city?
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of things that we need to focus on. You know, I think even – so there's this question of our schools and making sure that our schools have everything that they need, which is financial resources. But it's also the ability of communities to come around our schools, to make them spaces where kids feel deeply valued. I think there's policies around childcare. I can't tell you how many folks I know, how many parents are stressed trying to take care of their kids. And, you know, one of the things I remember being really powerful about my growing up at the time, probably I thought wasn't so great, but now I recognize. I remember I used to always be a little afraid to get in trouble because I was like, you never know who might know my parents and who might say, what are you doing?
Parents.
It's true. But I actually think I want to live in a country where children know that if they are being naughty and if they are also in trouble and need help, the adults around them will rise up to make sure that they have what they need. I've been on the train where young people are arguing and about to get in a fight, and the adults are all moving back from them, like almost giving them the space to fight. So I think I want to be explicit. We need basic gun background checks in this country. It is a no-brainer. And it is about protecting our children. It's about protecting us all. So I want to be really clear. From a policy perspective, there are policies that would make our children safe. There are the way we spend our resources to make sure that our kids have everything they need. And then there is the work that every single one of us needs to do to, as we see children walking through the street, I don't care what color they are or how old they are, they feel like every adult takes responsibility for them as much as for their own. And that, I think if we had that kind of empathy, I'm not sure that our leaders could look away. I'm not sure that they would feel that they could continue to not act, and we would not rise up and say, if it's happening to any child, we've require you to take leadership and do something about it.
That makes me think of the first time that Mona Lisa Smith of Mothers for Justice and Equality said to me, all children are our children. Every child is your child. Every child is my child. That feels like in a greater Boston community, that could become something we embrace.
It has
to be. Every child is our child.
It has to be. You know, one of the things I will say, my congregation on Sunday was processing buffalo, right? Which is what I'm like, I don't even know what I'm preaching about this Sunday, but obviously we got to figure this out.
This is the Tufts grocery store shooting in Buffalo.
Yeah. And one of the things I said to them, we are a multiracial congregation, which is a very odd thing. We're half people of color, half white. And I said, one of the things that makes us strange when we go out and do like apple picking or other events is people are not used to seeing a little black child running up to a white family. They know who they are. People are not used to an older black woman being helped by a younger white. They're not used to the kinds of relationships our community has because we are a church family. And I think we need more spaces where we are building those kinds of deep empathetic relationships. And I think we also need to figure out We don't know enough about the motive of this young person, but what we do know is that they were not well. What are we doing about the fact that there are folks in our community that are not well? And it should not be allowed to get to the point this far down the line without some level of intervention. That's another layer we need to figure out.
There is so much more I want to talk to you about. We are a one-hour show. So for today, that's it. But I know there will be more. And we called you last minute. I want to acknowledge that on air, right? Thank you for coming in to do this. We really were trying to figure out the voice we wanted, and you were it, and I appreciate it. Reverend Mariama White-Hammond, founding pastor at the New Roots AME Church in Dorchester, thank you.
Thank you.